Graham, I thought you'd be back in Iowa by now.
I refuse to drive south on Labor Day, so I am
Ah.
waiting till tomorrow.
Wise choice.
It was either come back Sunday or come back Wednesday. We chose Wednesday. Got, it looks like we're pretty close here. I'll give it a minute.
Yep.
Right, I think it is 3:30. So this is 3:30. It's Tuesday, September 8th. This is the Finance and Audit Committee meeting. And if I'm reading the agenda correctly, the first item is employee health insurance. Is that correct, Ted?
That is correct, Graham. We have a discussion today about employee health insurance. Specifically, we are going to talk about the Iowa Governmental Health Care Plan Trust. There's a memo in the packet, a brief memo from Doug describing our experience in employee health care in the last year or so. The increase that we got for 2020, the 22% increase, some of the investigation that we've done since then. And we as staff have come to the conclusion that the IGHCP trust would be a viable option for us to consider. So we've invited the folks from Holmes Murphy here today to share with the board information on the trust with the intent that we will then subsequently, not today, but subsequently bring forward an agreement, a 2080 agreement for Des Moines Water Works to join the trust. So, Doug, do you have anything that you would like to offer before we let Joe and Jeff take us through their presentation?
No, I think you really covered it, Ted. So nothing else from me.
Very good.
Ted, are we going to discuss after their presentation or before this the city of Des Moines and their they had said at one point that we couldn't leave?
We can discuss that now, Graham. I think is as good a time as any. Actually, Diane and I actually had the opportunity to meet with the mayor and the city manager after we had talked to the folks from Holmes Murphy about our relationship with the city, and we were under the impression, based on those conversations, that there really wasn't a negative to the city in us leaving, and in fact, it might even be a positive in terms of their stop loss and some of the costs that they experience for having us be part of their group. And so we did visit with the city. My perspective of that meeting was that there was more concern that us leaving was a step away from collaboration with the city than anything related to the cost or the value of us being there. I think the mayor saw some or had some sense that the bigger the group, the better off we all were. But the city manager explained that we really haven't been integrated into their group per se. He seemed comfortable and they gave the impression that they were okay with us leaving the group after that discussion. Diane, do you have anything you would like to add to my recollection of that discussion? Diane, you're muted. Diane, you're muted still.
I said I don't have any different recollection, but I think we probably need to follow up since we're taking action and let them know that was our understanding.
I would agree with that. And at some point when this is decided, I will have to either amend that agreement that we have with them or enter a different agreement with them or formalize that in some way. But we certainly have the impression at this point that they are not going to have a concern with us leaving.
And Ted, just as a reminder, I think you know that I followed up with you because the mayor had called me kind of a random call and said, yeah, we're going to let Moyne Waterworks out of this agreement. I didn't know what he was talking about. And then when I came to you, you had said, well, Diane and I had a conversation with him and that's what it was. So, yeah, I mean, he has not only said it to you, but then for some reason thought that I should know or that we should know.
Very good. That's certainly our understanding at this point.
Great. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
This is Jeff from Holmesburg. I can add to that too. We actually had a call with the city last week with Walmart. It was actually not specifically about the waterworks at all. It was something else. But at the end of the conversation, the Walmart rep actually asked about the waterworks leaving. That was just the HR department. That was not the city manager and the mayor. But the conversation at that time, it's continued this kind of the same thing we're hearing. They seem pretty open to letting you guys move off. The things we looked at initially was there was the potential from an administrative cost standpoint that it was going to impact the city, but Walmart agreed not to change their pricing, which basically makes it a fine situation for everybody. And from your claim standpoint, which we'll get into some, you're the rest of the city as a whole is running better. So this opportunity to move off to actually a bigger pool looks like it's advantageous to both the waterworks and the city. So I would be surprised if they actually come back at some point and say, no, you can't leave. I'd say from what we gathered last week, they are open to you transitioning off whenever it makes sense for you guys.
Very good. Well, Jeff and Joe, I guess we'll just let you take it from there and share the presentation you have for us today.
All right, sounds good. So Doug, so Joe's screen is going to have the presentation, so I don't know if you can let him pull it up or not.
Looks like
I think I got it.
Okay, good. Can everybody see that?
Yes.
All right, perfect. So I'm not sure, we have a lot of people on the call, I'm not sure how much background everybody has, but we have worked with the city of Des Moines, we've also worked with the waterworks separately, and what we have been working on is looking at your options if you were to move the medical away from the city of Des Moines. So just some background, I think in 2015, this is all I think that related in the message, you moved onto the city of Des Moines medical plan. That definitely made sense at the time for everybody involved, but as time has progressed, it doesn't seem at this stage that anybody is really benefiting from that combination of the benefits remaining. So we were requested to go out and look at different options, both in a trust option where you're joining with other municipalities as well as standalone options. And the focus today is primarily going to be the Iowa Governmental Healthcare Plan Trust, which is a primarily municipalities, but also a few other agencies or entities as well. But they're nonprofits either way. So financially, that makes the most sense, I think, both from remaining some independent control, but also from a cost and long-term strategy as well. So as we go through this, feel free to, if you have any, I don't know what's the easiest way to ask questions, but feel free to ask. I don't know, I actually see there's a chat question. I don't know if that's for us or not.
No, and Michelle, if you're listening, if you could mute everybody that's not speaking, there's a lot of noise in the background.
All right, so we'll get through this. I guess if somebody feels rather just ask a question directly, that's fine. But if you send the chat, I can see in the bottom too, and I'll open it up. So we're kind of going to go through where you guys have been running and what we looked at. I just mentioned what we had looked at in terms of the trust. So the Iowa Governmental Healthcare Plan is with Walmart. Again, that's going to be a recommendation. The Iowa Public Employer Plan is with United Healthcare. That does not make sense. And then from staying on your own, Walmart, United Healthcare, we looked at fully insured and self-funded. And then we looked at United Healthcare. But again, at the end of the day, joining the Iowa Governmental Healthcare Plan, it makes the most sense for multiple reasons. Okay, Joe, if you want to switch it to anything.
Yep. So I'm just going to kind of walk through where you guys are year to date. I'm going to go through this very high level, but one of the reasons we think this is important is because when we're comparing this Iowa Governmental Healthcare Plan quote, we're comparing it to what your current pricing is with the City of Des Moines plan. So we're not exactly comparing apples to apples because we do not have what your increase will be for 1/1/21. So just year to date through June of 2020, I'm going to highlight two things on here. Your total medical spend of $1.9 million plus the RX spend of $1.69 million. So current year to date, you guys have had about $3.66 million in claims. You're also paying an admin fee to the city of Des Moines of around $250,000. So just kind of want to have that number in the back of your mind of what you guys have actually, you know, had in claims, because I do believe the city of Des Moines will deliver a double-digit increase. As Doug mentioned in his memo, last year it was 22%. I would expect it to be around a pretty high ballpark again this year, a pretty high number again this year. Also, in this bottom red box here, you can see you guys have 13 claimants that have claims over $50,000. And that kind of goes to the point where Jeff was mentioning that from a stop-loss standpoint, proportionately, this Des Moines Water Works has more large claimants than the city does itself. Now, they have more large claimants, but they're quite a bit more employees. So 13 large claimants on your guys' plan, representing $1.8 million of claims. This next slide, we can share the PowerPoint afterwards because it's very small, but the next slide does just show those large claimants and some of the conditions. I think it's important to know that several of these will be ongoing, and we expect claims from some of these individuals again next year. But again, these 13 people represented 50% of your costs, or total claims, excuse me. So just an overview of the governmental health care plan. There are 35 public entities in there, most being cities and counties. One of your guys' colleagues, the Council of Bluffs Water Works, is also in there, and there's a Region 12 Council of Governments member in there, along with one other not-for-profit agency that has some federal funding. So the majority is, you know, these public entity groups. We just kind of talked about your claims. I think an important thing to remember, the city of Des Moines is a large group, but if you guys were to join this Iowa Governmental Healthcare Plan program, you would be spreading risk over 3,600 employees that represent over 9,000 member lives on the plan. So quite a bit bigger than the city of Des Moines even. Also, you know, doing our due diligence.
Can you stop a second? I have a question. What's 3,600 employees making up 9,060 members?
Yes.
I don't, who's a member and who's an employee? I'm having good trouble.
Question. Good question. An employee would be like, an employee of the Des Moines Water Works or an employee of City of Fort Dodge is in this group. A member would maybe be a spouse or a dependent. So one way I always think of it is how many are actually employees, 3,600, and then how many total belly buttons are on the plan? So there's 9,000 spouses, dependents, and employees on the plan.
Got it, thank you.
Yep, no problem. You know, like really looking, I think in the memo it had mentioned you guys joined the city's plan in 2015. I do think that joining this trust will be a good long-term play, not just a, you know, short-term fix. The average renewal increase, and they've been around since 2005, has been 7%, just over 7%. This plan utilizes partial self-funding. So after negotiations with Wellmark and partial self-funding changes, their increase has been just over 2% for the members on average the last 15 years. Again, the carrier partner is Wellmark, so that'll be easier transition for the Des Moines Water Works employees. It will not be a carrier change for them. And then while I do think it's a long-term solution for your organization, there's no multi-year commitment. So if for whatever reason we don't think this is a great fit for the Water Works, or we find out now the Water Works has lost some of their high risk and they'd be better off being self-funded back on their own, there's no multi-year commitment. You can leave at any renewal cycle. And as Jeff mentioned, we looked at the Iowa Public Employer Plan, Wellmark, and United Healthcare, but really today we're going to focus on the IGHCP.
I just wanted a couple things too before we move on. So Joe mentioned it historically was municipalities. So Joe and I have been working with this trust for quite a long time. And part of that building that relationship was allowed us the ability to get other groups that weren't cities and counties to be part of this, such as the Waterworks. So if we'd gone to them 3 or 4 years ago, they probably would have said no. obviously that's changed now as well. I think the other thing too, like Joe mentioned, it's very transparent. So you'll still get your own claims information, et cetera. So if it does make sense at some point to move out and be by yourself again, you don't lose that ability by going into this. And I think that is definitely one of the things that's nicer about this and some of the other ones. That other trust we looked at, it's much more difficult to get out of because they're not nearly as transparent. So from a tracing standpoint, it didn't make any sense, but we were happy when this one looked as good as it did because of the fact that it is so much more transparent and easy to make a change if you do down the road.
Speaking of transparency and everything else, you guys have three plans. So what we tried to do here was match the plan designs closest as possible. Now, some plans actually have a little bit better copays being on the Iowa Governmental Healthcare Plan, but at the end of the day, the deductibles and the out-of-pocket, really what the employees are going to be concerned about, their liability will be the same as they currently have with the city of Des Moines. So the difference here is we're going to look at, right now, you guys are paying basically an insurance premium to the city of Des Moines. That's going to include your claims funding, Holmes Murphy fees, the Wellmark EOB fee. It's all wrapped into one single premium because you're basically fully insured with the city of Des Moines. The IGCHP is going to have several different components. We're going to look at an insurance premium that we'll pay to Wellmark each month. And then as the memo mentioned, this utilizes partial self-funding. So we are buying a higher deductible and we're self-funding down to plan levels that you guys currently have today. So you can see you have insurance premiums, claims funding. That's the money that's going to sit in the Des Moines Waterworks account to pay for claims. There's some consulting fees from IGCHP. There's an EBS billing fee that entails reprocessing those claims from the higher deductibles to lower deductibles. There's a Wellmark fee, and then there's Holmes Murphy's consulting fee. So what I'm looking at the total monthly cost, currently the City of Des Moines single rate for plan one, the Waterworks single rate for plan one with the City of Des Moines is $791.62. Family rates, $1,963. Again, these rates expire on 12/31/2020. We anticipate an increase with the City of Des Moines for 1/1. The IGCHP gave us 18-month rates. So the governmental healthcare plan actually renews on 7/1 each year. So we will join the plan on January 1st. And we will actually have a renewal for 7/1. So what we tried to do was levelize the increase to provide an 18-month rate. So you can see at the bottom, the 18-month rate proposed for plan one is $829.18 for single and $2,035 for a family. We factored in a 6% increase in the Wellmark portion of the premium. Our discussion with the trust, they are running very well this year. We anticipate a renewal closer to 3 or 4%. If the renewal is in that lower number, the additional that we're not paying to Wellmark, the additional dollars we aren't paying to Wellmark, we'll just increase that claims funding. So you can see we dropped the partial self funding from 125 down to 85 next July. What this means in total is we are anticipating a 3.86% increase over the current rates that would be good for 18 months for this plan. This plan has 10 singles, 17 families. We did the exact same thing for the second plan. The Waterworks also has a $500 deductible plan. This plan represents a 7.41% increase and would affect 19 employees, 48 singles. And the third plan, your HSA, this is a 10.59% increase using the same logic across the board. This plan is the majority of your employees are on. It has 36 singles and 90 families. As a whole, this equates to that number that Ted mentioned in the memo, or Ted and Doug mentioned, of about an 8.57% increase for an 18-month rate. So the annualized difference is $304,000. If you compare that to what you guys are currently spending over 12 months, $3,554,000, it's about a $2 million increase. But again, you're locking your rates in for 18 months. Also, we know there's going to be some claims in the partial self-funding level, but these numbers include $435,000 that would sit in the Des Moines Water Works account. So any of those dollars that are not used to buy down the deductibles would remain the Des Moines Water Works that could be used to offset future increases or other wellness programs, whatever. It remains the Des Moines Water Works' funds. Is there any questions on the numbers, on parcels of funding, or anything else we can answer?
I apologize if this is a question you already answered. I'm trying to keep up with the numbers here. These increases, are they over, I mean, this is an increase above the current rate, so that's already factoring in the big increase we saw last year.
Right. So, yes, you guys got a 22% increase for 2020 planned year. So we're comparing this 8.57 against your current rates. So if the city of Des Moines delivers any renewal over 8.57%, you know, your current rates would be higher than this option.
And I don't know that you would have this information, but what do we expect? You said we could expect another large increase from the city.
Yeah, the reason I went through those high claims, just to kind of show you guys, you're running, and as Jeff mentioned, as Wellmark has told us, the waterworks proportionally is running worse than the city as a whole. So I would expect them to pass on some double digit increase. And we don't know that number. It's typically delivered to the waterworks in October. So in a perfect world, we would have shown you guys the current 12 months, the renewal offering from the Des Moines, City of Des Moines, and then this IGHCP option. I believe if we were able to, you know, predict, it's going to be somewhere in the 15 or higher percentage. So this will look even better once we have those final numbers.
Sure. Thank you.
And here's something too, to follow up on that. That's a big difference. So when you're going into the IGHCP, you are being underwritten on your own. So they are looking at your claims information, et cetera. When the renewal comes out, everybody gets the same renewal that's in this. So whether it's the Waterworks or the Council Bluff Waterworks or Huxley, which is one of the cities we have in there, you all get the same renewal, which is different than what's happening with the city. So what's happening with the city is they're getting a renewal, they're looking at your claims information, and then they're making a calculation about what the Waterworks should be. And it's not necessarily the same percentage the city as a whole is getting. So you being in this arrangement is actually much better, because regardless of whether you're running worse than the rest of the pool, which I think right now you actually would be, you're going to get the same renewal everybody else gets, even if they're running well. And that's a huge benefit of this that you're not having right now. So that's the nice thing, 18 months, but you could do a shorter one. We wanted to calculate the 18 months because we think that would just be easier to keep your numbers steady. But this fund that you get that Joe has on the slide here, that's the nice thing. That's the Waterworks money. So if you don't need the money, you just keep building it up. So I mentioned Huxley. Huxley has been in this, I think, 2 years now. Is that right, Joe? And obviously Huxley more than the Waterworks, but they have, even though the trust has had an increase on that percentage we showed, they had enough funding or funds available. Actually, not even had an increase for 2 years. The best case scenario is you enough reserves here that you actually can offset whatever the trust as a whole has. But if it does have one, you can use some of that money as well. But at the end of the day, this is another thing that's different. The Waterworks will control that money. So if it gets high enough, you want to take some of it out to use for something else, you'll have the ability to do that. It's the Waterworks money, and it does not have to just stay tied to medical claims and medical insurance if you don't want it to.
Yeah, I'm just scrolling back here just to show you the percentage of the total risk we're building in. So you can see the first plan, we're building in 16.59% of exposure over 18 months. Or that's plan three, excuse me. Plan two, we're building in almost 24% of the exposure over 18 months. And then that first plan, we're building in almost 24.5% exposure. So that $435,000 will be plenty of money to cover, you know, expected claims from a group your size and based on your guys' claims history. So we don't anticipate you having all 435,000. So we know you're gonna have some claims. We have employees, they're gonna hit their out-of-pocket maximum every year, those high claimants. But at the end of the day, some of this portion will remain in the Des Moines Waterworks account.
a couple of things that I would share at this point. The senior management team and our union leadership team has seen this presentation and actually even a little bit more detailed version where representatives from IGHCP were there and were able to ask questions. So we've seen pretty good information on this. This is an 18-month quote. And so not only are we expecting to see an increase from the city on January 1st, but there will be yet another increase from the city another year from now when these prices are still good for us for six more months. This is a larger group, 9,000 lives, as Joe has already shared, and we are integrated into that group. Once we're in, our employees and their family members are part of that group integrated in. So we all receive the same increase, which is averaged in the single digits over 15 years. So we believe it's a good option. And if you look at the other options that we considered, what the percentage increases were all 25 to 30% increase compared to what we're paying now from the other options that Holmes Murphy shopped for us. So I don't know. I saw Bill and Jeannie are here. I don't know if you have any comments from a union perspective on what you've seen or heard about the trust. Hearing none, I guess I would just offer the board the opportunity to ask any other questions.
Ed?
Yes.
I just wanted to say that, yes, we have been presented this. Our question is what is the cost for the employee going to be? We still don't know what that is.
Right. And that's fair. And we don't know what the cost will be, regardless of which option we choose, whether we stay with the city or do the trust.
Isn't that kind of a step two, Ted? Once we figure out what we're going to be doing for insurance, then that would be the next thing. I mean, then we'd know what we're dealing with as far as cost.
Right. I would agree, Sue. I think it is a two-step process. We can decide which plan we think is most cost-effective for the waterworks as a whole going forward, and then whichever path we take, we need to decide how we're going to share the cost between the utility and the employees. And it's a fair statement that we haven't decided that yet, but I think that's step two in the process.
I just want to add, I think this is in the memo Doug wrote, but just the comparison. So we're looking at an 8.5% over an 18 month, which again, there might be some funding to actually even make that be less, but the other proposals, the other trust would not release a quote because they weren't competitive. Walmart quotes by themselves were either between 25 and 35% more, and then the United Healthcare standalone was 29%. So this was significantly less than the other options. And if we had a situation where we thought that the city possibly would give you a rate pass or something else, that would be certainly a different conversation. But based on how you're running, I think that the likelihood of that happening is not, I don't think it's likely at all. So this is definitely a very attractive option. And we did explore a lot of other avenues that kind of just confirmed that the pricing here is very good.
And I just like to say that we do agree that this is the plan we should probably go with, but our concerns are still the cost.
Absolutely. Understood. Well, if there are no more questions, Jeff and Joe, thank you very much for your time and attention today. And we will take feedback from the board and bring them a recommendation.
Jeff and Joe, before you go too, and really to Jeannie and Bill, Union, everybody that worked on this, Doug, I appreciate it. I mean, we were in a bad situation last year, and I truly appreciate everybody working to find a solution. This sounds like we're heading in the right direction. And it means a lot to our employees, and therefore it means a lot to Des Moines Water Works. So I just appreciate everybody's work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Agreed.
All right.
Shall we move on, Graham, to item two?
Yes, item two. Go ahead, Ted.
Well, item number two is the wholesale rate design. We have opportunity here for closed session, if that's the board's preference. We have received the opinion on the proposal for wholesale rate changes. I believe everyone should have, the board members specifically, should have seen that on Friday, and may have questions or comments or want to discuss that either now or in closed session.
I'll entertain a motion if somebody thinks we need to go into closed session. I'm not sure I think we do, but it is an option.
I will move that we go into closed session.
I'd be happy to put the motion out there, and then we can talk about it before the vote. I move that the board conduct a closed session under section 21.51A and section 622.101 to discuss records authorized by law to be kept confidential, in particular to review and discuss the opinion of counsel respecting wholesale rates currently under consideration.
Is there a second?
Second.
We'll have a vote on this, and we'll do a roll call vote on this. Explain this to me, Diane. You said you had a few comments that you might, or we could discuss it. Why are we doing this?
I think that there may be questions about the memo and specifics of the memo, and that we may want to discuss in closed session. Part of the memo, and if people have concerns or want to express different opinions, I think that should be done in closed session.
Okay. So it's kind of a business strategy type of discussion. That's what you're...
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I'll just say I'll vote yes to go into a closed session. There is nothing that I'm going to say about this that I need to say in a closed session, but if others want to do that, I'm happy to go along.
I'm not looking forward to necessarily saying anything, but getting the advice and clarifying so that we know exactly what our competitive position is. That's,
I understand.
So that's the reason that I am not sure, but I'm sure our counselor will keep us in line to ensure that we're not discussing anything beyond what we should in closed session.
Yeah, I think the point is if the opinion and its details to be discussed, to preserve the attorney-client privilege and attorney work product privilege, it's appropriate to have a discussion of the detail of that confidential document
right
in closed session. But I think the discussion will be limited to the four corners of the opinion under this motion.
Okay. I'm comfortable with that. I have nothing more to say on that. Okay, I understand.
To Graham's earlier point, business strategy is something I'm more interested in, or I think is more appropriate for a closed session. I'm happy to discuss, I mean, the memo as well, that's fine. Our legal authority to change rates and the contents of this memo is something I'm happy to discuss in open session. But I'm happy to go into closed session. I think obviously we need some discussion on whether the board feels it's appropriate to discuss the memo in open session, but for what it's worth, I would be willing to. So I'll support the motion as well.
All right, any more discussion about the motion? Hearing none, Michelle, let's take a roll call vote.
Bolton?
Yes.
Ashburner?
Yes.
Gillette?
Yes.
Hubbard? Hubbard?
Yes.
Munns?
Yes.
All right, and procedure-wise, we're going to leave the Zoom meeting, and we'll come back to the Zoom meeting after we are out of closed session, but we're going to go to a Microsoft Teams meeting, I believe. Is that correct?
Correct. I sent an invite a couple hours ago. Did everybody get it?
Yes. Okay. So for those who are listening in, take a little break. We'll be back with you shortly.
Roger,
I thank you.
Just giving a moment here for everyone to join. I see Sue and Joel.
It says that Michelle has stopped my video.
She didn't want to see you anymore.
I guess not.
There you are.
There we go.
Happened to read your lips when we were in the other meeting.
There we go. Andrew is back and Diane's back. So we have come out of our closed session and returned to the open session of the September 8th Finance and Audit Committee meeting. There will be no action. Obviously, there was no action taken in the closed session. And at this point, there's going to be no
action taken about rate restructuring or what we discussed in that closed session. Although I think it's fair to say that at our next, or at least a very a meeting soon to come, we are going to talk about rate restructuring in depth. And that's the next step here. Anybody have anything to add to that? Hearing none, if I am correct, the only other item on this agenda is something that I added, and this is the thought for a legal services review. And this is something that has popped up from time to time as just a little bit of a background. We have had our current legal counsel for decades, not just Rick, but the firm. And there is a thought that it may be wise to put out a request for proposal to make sure that our legal services, our legal counsel's meeting our needs, and we're and doing so. There's nothing, and my suggestion in doing this is nothing to say that we haven't been appropriately represented and aren't right now, but it probably makes sense for an entity such as ours to go through this process periodically. And so what I'd like to ask is for Ted to put together and work with his team to put together what an RFP would look like for legal services, and also to consider at that time language that you know, that would lead us in the future, so that there, you know, we wouldn't go through long periods of time like this without reviewing legal services. So that would, that may be a policy change that that would come at the same time. I added it to this agenda, you know, to invite discussion on this or objection. If you don't think now is the right time, now's a good time to speak up. But I thought it was appropriate to put it on an agenda, make the request of Ted. And when I say make the request, this board member is making the request. And as I say, if somebody else objects or would like to do it a different way, I am all ears. Any thoughts? So again, to restate, and I'll give you one more chance to chime in, but I'm just asking Ted to get together as his team, think about and propose to us some language for an RFP and a process, if you will, for an RFP, including a timeline. I don't know how long something like that would reasonably take, and then come back to us. And then the board would have the opportunity to, just like we do with all requests for proposals, to vote on that, so that make, you know, we would have an opportunity to see what that RFP looked like before it was released.
You know, Graham, we're very fortunate to have three attorneys on our board. Maybe if they have certain ideas and expertise that they think we need to make sure that we would include as part of the scope, because it's certainly not something that I would be aware of, but, you know, between Andrea and Joel and Diane, I think they might know the types of things that I wouldn't even know what to ask about. But I think coming back to us then, maybe after those three individuals have had a chance to provide any suggestions, would be helpful.
Yeah.
I just need to clarify, I'm only married to an attorney. I am not an attorney.
Well, that doesn't count. That doesn't count.
Yeah. Don't, and again, I like to pretend to be one, yeah. but don't throw me in with having to come up with the correct language on this.
I think she said is don't insult me, but
yeah. Well, how about
I thought you were an attorney.
Thank you. I'll actually take that as a compliment.
How about if I take it, the opportunity to reach out to each member of the board and just have a quick discussion about this particular topic, and we can make sure that we get all of the right considerations included. And then at the next Finance and Audit Committee meeting, we can have a quick review of historically how we've gotten here and what we would propose for an RFP and the process and the timeline, and we can get feedback at that point.
So potentially, if it went through that process, that would be the October finance. So potentially at the October board meeting, we could have an RFP. I'm not trying to rush it, but that's potential, that we could have an RFP replaced at the October board meeting.
Right. Correct. Yes, and then we would have a period of time to get proposals and consider them, and you know, year end possibly would be a good time to
excellent
make that call.
Excellent. Any other thoughts on this process?
Just our current contract. Is there a notice that we have to give, or what is the status of that?
I think I can answer that, although I want to stay out of the RFP process due to conflict of interest. I think council serves at the pleasure of the board.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. With that, I think that's all of our agenda items except for a CEO update. Ted, what do you got?
Very quickly, Graham, a week or so ago, we were in an interesting situation with water quality and demand and whatnot. And as you can expect, the rains and the cool temperatures have changed our lot in life for the better, at least here for the near term. I would share that we did have what I would call a staff level meeting with public works directors and water utility managers and city managers mid last week, Wednesday of last week, to just bring them up to speed on exactly what we were up against and the monitoring that we were going to do over the weekend and the potential concerns we had if it did get very hot and there wasn't the chance of rain. But as the forecast developed, it became pretty clear that we were all going to get some rain. We didn't see huge demand. We didn't see the Raccoon River turn on us, which it can sometimes. And so we made it through the holiday weekend without any issues from a capacity perspective or a water quality perspective. I don't like to tempt fate, but I think we've made it over that hurdle at this point, and I think we're in good shape going forward. So that's my update for today, unless anyone has questions about anything else.
Anything else for the good of the cause?
No, I think ending on some good news is...
You know what, Diane, you are absolutely right. I will, I promise the next time you see me, I will be closer to you in Des Moines.
I think you'll still be via video, so.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Maybe someday we'll meet in person.
Yeah, I've enjoyed the view, so.
Yeah, it's a beautiful view. Safe travels, Graham.
All right.
Drive. Thank you all for your time, as always.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Goodbye, all.
Have a good night.
Thank you.